Heavenly Father, we thank Thee once again for this privilege that we have of standing to herald forth the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We acknowledge our weakness and seek Thy strength. Be with us, we pray, that Thy name may be glorified in the saving of souls here tonight. In His name's sake, we pray. Would you turn with me, please, to Matthew and chapter 13. Matthew's Gospel in chapter 13. Beginning to read at verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. The great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. Because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. The seed in this passage is the word of God, the gospel. As I look out over my audience tonight, it is very doubtful to me that there is anyone here who does not know what the gospel is. We know that for the greatness of our sin, the Lord Jesus was sent into the world, that He bore our sin on the cross, that anyone with faith believing in Him may have eternal life and go to be with Him forever, their sins being washed away. We all know this. I think we've all heard the gospel before. The question I wish to put to you tonight is, what kind of soil are you? There are four soils spoken of here, four types of hearts. But before we enter into that, I want you to come with me back in time to another country, to the land of Israel, as we understand the parable of the sower. The sower is the man that plants the seed in the field. And they did not plant seed as we plant seed, one at a time. First, they would stake a boundary out. That was their field. Now, they still do this to this day. Now, this boundary may be made up of many things. It may be made up of stones piled one upon another to make a fence. It may be made up of thorns and thistles to stop animals from coming in. And there may be a path along which the people walk near to this field. Maybe a well-traveled road, or just a byway, a sheep path. Before they sow the seed, the earth is plowed. It's turned up, so that we have rows and rows, beautiful furrows. The man who is to sow has a bag. He steps out into the field, dips his hand in the bag, and casts the seed. God directs where the seed falls. He just throws. As he walks up and down the field, some of that seed will fall upon the pathway near to the field. And some of that seed will fall in the boundaries where there are rocks. Some of that seed will fall into the thorny places. And some of that seed will fall into the furrow. This is the picture that the Lord wants to paint for us. It was a common enough sight for those people, though maybe not common to us. And as he came out of the house on the north shore of Galilee, there were many fields round about. And it may be that there were sowers sowing in the field even as he spoke. He often took illustrations from what was going on around. He did that in the Sermon on the Mount. And it may be as the people were watching the sowers sowing that he drew this illustration. But there were so many people, he could not be seen. So he got in a small boat. And someone rowed him out, two or three men, rowed him out a little way into the sea. And he spoke to them as they stood by the shore. Now Galilee is a beautiful blue lake. And at times it can be very rough, but at times the surface can be as glass. I believe this was one of those times. I believe that there was very little wind. All was calm. All was peaceful. As the Lord spoke to people about the condition of their ears, the condition of their eyes, and the condition of their heart. Now many did not understand. To them it was just a story. But we have been given the key. We've been given the secret code, as it were, to unlock this mystery and to see what the Lord was speaking of. In the different soils we have pictured for us those that hear the word, as you do tonight. And the first hearer we might call the wayside hearer. Some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. We are told in verse 19 that when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. Now the pathway or the wayside would have been very hard packed earth. And as the people passed by, or the sheep or the animals, the earth would be packed down, solid. So as the seed fell upon it, it would bounce and roll. It had no chance really to sink down deep into the earth and to spring up. And so the bird, seeing this, would come down and devour the seed. Some of us have hearts like that, don't we? Hard, packed earth. There may be many things which pack the earth, that harden the heart. Maybe that there have been things in our life that have happened that have embittered our heart towards God. How hard is your heart? How packed is the earth? As the seed is exposed, we hear the word and the seed is exposed, and the birds come and snatch it away. The Pharisees were a good example of this. Their hearts were very hard. They had an angry reaction to the Lord Jesus. They heard the word, but their heart was so hard, it could not penetrate. And so the evil one came and snatched away the word. Did not even have a chance to sink a little root into the heart. And this is why they were so angry toward the Lord Jesus. Because they did not understand the word. There was no reception in their heart. There was no way that they could receive the word. Their heart was too hard. They did not understand it. What will it take for some of our hearts to be softened, that we may receive the word? Shall I tell you what it is? It needs to be plowed up. Now the Holy Spirit does the plowing. He makes ready the field for the reception of the word. And it may be that there are those here tonight that have heard the word before, and it's been snatched away. Maybe it's time you allowed the Holy Spirit to do His plowing work in you, to make ready your heart for the receiving of the Word. The second type of earth that's spoken of is the stony ground. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. Forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth, and when the sun was up, they were scorched. Because they had no root, they withered away. Verse 20 tells us that he that received the word into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and anon with joy receives it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises, because of the word, by and by, he is offended. Now this stony earth would be, in all probability, the boundaries that surround the field. And as the seed falls onto these rocks, they may fall down into the crevices, where they may find a little earth. And they sink their roots as deep as they can, and spring up very quickly. But because they have no root, no deep root, down into the earth where they can be fed the living water, when the sun comes up, they're scorched, and they wither away. They have not enough root. They have enough root to germinate, but not to grow, not to bring forth fruit. Some of us have hearts like that, don't we? Stony hearted. We may not be as hard packed as the earth on the wayside, but there are cracks in our armor, as it were, little chinks into which the word can fall, and it springs up. Oh, this is wonderful, we say. This is marvelous. I believe it. But we don't, really. We believe it in our head, but it hasn't sunk down into our heart. It hasn't reached down with roots into our heart. And it springs up. And we can see it for what sort of plant it is. It never brings forth any fruit. An illustration of this might be Simon the sorcerer, Simon Magus. We find his story in Acts chapter 8. And he was called the Great Power of God. He lived in the region of Samaria. And he knew a little something, apparently, was accounted wise. And he heard the gospel, and he was very taken with it. And he saw the miracles which the apostles were performing by the power of God. And he went to the apostles and sought to buy the power of God with money. And the apostles told him, "Thy money perish with thee, because you sought to buy the power of God with it." His was an intellectual reaction to the word. It only got as far as his head. It didn't travel the 18 inches from his head down into his heart. Now it's interesting, his name, Simon, is a contraction of the Hebrew word Shimeon, or Simeon, which means hearing. And he heard the gospel, but he had no root. It didn't sink its roots into him. And so, when the crunch came, he was found out for what he was. Had a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. You may be here tonight, and you may have accounted yourself a Christian for years. And people may have accounted you a Christian for years. And yet,
there's no fruit in your life. Never has been any fruit. Never will be any fruit. Why? Because you've received the gospel only with your head. It hasn't sunk down into your heart and made a change there. Search your own heart. Could this be true of you? Now the third sort of ground that we have is the thorny ground, or the ground full of thistles. And we've just come back from the Holy Land, and I can tell you that there are thistles everywhere in the Holy Land. Anywhere there's not something growing, there's thistles. Along the side of any field that's not cultivated, there's thistles. And some fell among thorns or thistles, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Verse 22 says, he also that received seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Now here is a place where there is earth enough. And the seed falls into the earth and springs up. Problem is, of course, there's too much competition. Too many thorns. Too many thistles. And they spring up and choke the word. And if the wayside hearers had no reception of the word, they understand not. And if the stony-hearted hearers have no roots and grow not, then the thorny ground hearers have no room and they produce not. This is the kind of heart that receives the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, that it becomes unfruitful. Now there are those that believe that these are people that were saved, and these things come into their life and choke the word, that it becomes unfruitful. There are those, yet again, who believe that this is just another sort of ground where the word never comes to full fruition. Be that as it may, search your own heart. Have the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word in your life. They say that in every age, there is a besetting sin, so that every age may be known by the things that they enjoy. And the great besetting sin of our age is materialism, enjoying the things of this life, comfortable things, nice things, material things. A good example of this is the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19, who came to the Lord Jesus and asked him what he might do to inherit eternal life. And the Lord told him, well, follow the commandments. And he said, well, all these I have kept from my youth up. And the Lord didn't disagree with him, although no man yet but him has kept the commandments. He didn't disagree with him. He simply told him, well, one thing thou lackest. Sell all that thou hast. Come take up thy cross and follow me. And it says, the young man went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. His was a selfish reaction. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches meant more to him and the gospel. He was not like Moses, who thought that the reproach of Christ was far better than anything this world has to offer. There was another man who said, "Soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. I will build barn." The Lord said, "Thou fool, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Is that your heart tonight? Do the things of this world mean more to you than the Christ who shed his blood on Calvary, who came into this world for the express purpose of taking upon himself your sins? Does this world mean more to you than he does? If so, you are a thorny ground here. And these first three soils, we have the wayside hearers who are witless, they understand not, and the stony-hearted hearers, they are heartless, and they grow not, and the thorny ground hearers who are fruitless, they produce not. But thank God, although we have those whose ears are dull and whose eyes are closed and whose heart is wax gross, we have a fourth kind of soul. Other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. He that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Now this is that good soil, the plowed soil, into which the seed fell. And it sprung up. And there was nothing to hinder it springing up and becoming fruitful. And so it became. The seed germinates and grows to fruition. And this is an obedient reaction to the word. And the disciples might be our example of this. For they received the word. The Lord said to them, "It is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." These good ground hearers are the only ones with eyes and ears and heart. It says the Lord took them, Mark says he took them privately aside. And later on in this chapter, in about verse 36, it says, Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. Now he came out of the house to see. He went back into the house to explain. And the disciples heard the explanation. Those that were obedient to the word, they heard the explanation. They understood. They had room in their heart for the word. It grew and brought forth fruit. In Luke chapter 15, what's been called the lost chapter, we have the story of the prodigal son, the lost son, if you will. We all know the story how he went into a far country and wasted his substance with riotous living. And it says he came to himself. That I will return to my father. And so he did. And we know the story how that the father saw him a long way off. He was waiting for his return. He came and fell on his neck and kissed him. gave him new raiment and a ring, and new shoes upon his feet. We don't have time to enter into the significance of that. We read, he killed the fatted calf. But his brother, we read, was angry. His brother was in the field and heard all the noise and came to see what the commotion was about. And when he found out, he was jealous. He said, well, you know, I've been with you all these years, Father, and you've never done a thing for me. You've never held a party for me or given me new clothes. And the father tried to explain to him the reason why he did what he did. But I want you to notice one very important detail about the elder brother. He was in the field. Now in the parables of the Lord Jesus, the field is the world. And as the sower goes out to sow, he sows in the world. And the elder brother was still in the world. He was living with the father, very close to the father's house, but he was not in the father's house. How many of us are there that have been going to church all our lives? We make visits into and out of the Father's house, but we're living in the field. And we know what happened. For any such, they envy the righteous for their purity and their power. And they envy the unrighteous for their pleasure. Is this your condition tonight? Search your own heart. As I say, as I look out over my audience, I don't see a single face that I could say, I know you haven't heard the gospel before. There may be those here who have not received the gospel before. There may be those here that have received it only in mind, but never in heart. What will your reaction be, I wonder? Will you be angry? Or will this message just simply be another source of information? Another set of facts for you to squirrel away in your mind? Or will you have a selfish reaction to the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches? Still choke the word in your life? Or will tonight be the night when your heart will be that good ground? You will receive the word with gladness. Look into your heart and enter into the Father's house. If you really want to understand, if you really want to be fruitful, let the word sink its roots deep down into you and bring forth much fruit, 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. May it be so tonight, for his name's sake. Shall we pray? Father, how we thank thee for the goodness of thyself, for thy great mercy, grace, whereby we have received the word. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus who died for us and who was made sin for us. Though we profess, Father, we cannot understand that. We know that he took upon himself all our sins. We thank thee for all who are here tonight that have received the word, has brought forth fruit in their life. But, O Father, if there be any here tonight that are of the other sort of earth, we pray that tonight might be the night when their heart will be changed. Plow up the stony ground, we pray. Clear away the thistle. Keep the wicked one from snatching away the seed. Bring to their mind that the cares of this world are only for this world and that they have eternity before them. Bring to them the goodness of eternal life, the marvelous worth of our Lord Jesus. Save them tonight, we pray, for his name's sake.